people told me I couldn't do a lot of things.
I feel like I'm the chosen one.
Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. All we are is proud and passionate. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Nothing matters but winning.
Welcome back to episode 74 of Rapsville Weekly. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Cellio, alongside
Adam Kisucci.
And today we're going to be talking about the last two games of the back-to-back that have occurred, plus some other news, some of the buyout stuff that have been going on around the league. We briefly mentioned it last video because it was kind of a little bit after recording, and now it's a little more present day, so we'll be talking about that. Before we get into that, as always, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news, Raptors content. Leave your comments down below. As always, we want to hear your opinions on these pieces.
Yeah, so moving right into the topics, I really wanted to focus on the three buyout bigs gone to start. And the three buyout bigs that either the Raptors were looking at and that we could have got in the free agency, basically, after the trade deadline, were Drummond, Dieng, and LaMarcus Aldridge. So three veterans, basically, all looking for new teams, being bought out. So Drummond, the biggest one, and someone who we really needed and could have used in our starting lineup, he goes to the Lakers. He really makes them a favorite in winning the championship. Now partnering with LeBron James and Anthony Davis raises the Lakers' stakes and looking to have a huge super team there. The other one is very questionable. LaMarcus Aldridge goes to the Brooklyn Nets. Kind of solidifies that roster, brings more depth to it, along with Blake Griffin. So two veteran guys probably coming off the bench that will help James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant all play much better and have a better supporting cast. The other one that we could have picked up was Dieng. Dieng wasn't a big guy in the market. No one was really looking at him. But I guess San Antonio really needed a replacement with LaMarcus Aldridge leaving to go to Brooklyn. So San Antonio did pick him up. And that leaves the Toronto Raptors with one guy, basically. One guy left, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. And we can either go look at G League guys, or we can look at Cousins. It's either two choices. So, Gabe, I just wanted to ask you, do you think Cousins will be the right fit? I know we've talked about it previously on previous episodes, and we didn't really like the idea of Cousins moving to Toronto, but do you really think that Cousins is the right piece for this roster?
In terms of right piece, I don't necessarily think he'll like be the guy that fits in, you know, too well. But I think it is a matter of desperation at this point, because that we can't seem to win a game for the life of us, because we so desperately need a big man. I think out of desperation, it's worth picking him up, especially because he might be, maybe a little bit cheaper. And a lot of teams aren't interested in him. He's kind of just sitting there, and he does have some type of skill, you know, compared to other guys in the free agency market that are left that really aren't playing in this league. He's obviously the best one. So out of desperation, I say might as well take an attempt at him. We still have those roster spots just chilling for no reason at all. I don't know if that's what I think is a good move. And, you know, Boston's clearly thinking the same thing. With them, it's a little bit different. They got rid of Tice, traded him away, probably to bring in Drummond, who also was going to talk with them. But Drummond chose the Lakers, so now Celtics are without that big man, and it makes sense that they were looking for Cousins, someone who can kind of play a similar role to Tice, I would say. So, yeah, I guess that's that. In terms of the other guys, Drummond obviously would have loved to have him. And clearly he made his decision. I don't even know if the Raptors were involved in those talks. And Aldridge, same thing. Not playing, you know, that good this season, but just someone that we could have taken who has a little bit more veteran experience, a little more solid play. Sad to see them both be, they obviously went to go get their rings from the teams that they chose, right?
Yeah. And going back to the Cousins, I really feel that it's a low risk, high reward in that situation, like you mentioned. And then with the Drummond thing, I really kind of lose respect. And for Drummond especially, LaMarcus Aldridge, I can kind of see why he did the move. It's later on in his career. He's looking to get his first ring. And he was a loyal guy at Portland most of his career. So I can understand. And I can give him a guy that's been, you know, a loyal guy, like I said, and a little bit of sympathy for him. But when you look at Drummond, he's in really the prime of his career. He's averaging good numbers. He could be an all-star center, obviously. So I just don't understand why he would just do that and just partner with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on, I'm sure, a lower contract deal. And then he's going to want more money at the end of next year, and he's probably going to be back in the free agency market. So I don't understand why he would make that move. It just personally, I lose respect because I value loyalty over ring chasing. And a lot of people will say, oh, if you were in that position, you would be wanting to ring chase. And that's seriously not the case. I would try to win the right way. And it just makes no sense for me what Drummond just did there.
Yeah. Clearly, his motives are to win the ring, obviously. The contract situation, they can't afford to pay him. I don't see him staying there. Clearly, he wants to just get his ring, gain a little more value with playoff experience and stuff, and maybe try to perform as best as he can to get a max contract at some other team. I could have seen him being a really big asset either to the Celtics or to the Hornets, and he decided to not go either way, obviously. And then, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, that to me is an even bigger ring chase move. Brooklyn Nets, who already have three crazy superstars well above the salary cap, takes a veteran minimum, very similar to when Cousins did the veterans minimum for Golden State. Similar move right there. That to me is a cheap way to get a ring and obviously adds to their stacked roster. It seems to be looking like a Nets-Lakers final. And if it's not both of them in the final, I think it'll be a pretty big upset.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, and if Drummond came to Toronto, wouldn't you see him as being, like, a fan favorite, like, big Drummond coming in? He would get so much hype. Everyone would love him. Like, I know he's a really nice guy from what the media has said and everything and what he's done with charity and everything. And, I think he would have been so valuable to us, and everyone would really appreciate his move. But obviously that's not the case here, and it wasn't meant to be, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's so... Definitely, I agree with that. I think that's one of the things with COVID is that it's hard to sell Toronto because one of the biggest things is the fan. You know, it's a good, great city, a beautiful city, very popular, and the fans are fantastic. It's a great fan base, and now that we lose all that, they're telling you, you're in Tampa, you're going to be traveling around forever, you're not even going to stay in Tampa, plus he's going to be a free agent next year. I think, you know, some of that just adds to the difficulty. I think the fan base is a huge part of our organization and trying to get people to come here. You know, people like playing here. You know, Tyler Hero said it, favorite place to play besides Miami was Toronto. So yeah. I think that's one big selling point because we don't have much off besides that because, you know, they don't like the taxes and the cold weather. So losing that because of COVID, I think made it hard for a bunch of free agency moves. And I think that that's affecting even our performance in the season, right?
Yeah. And also with our two roster spots still yet not filled, if you're Masai, Gabe, are you looking to look at some G League centers and kind of do what Oklahoma City did with their new starting center, Moses Brown? He's playing very well. He's getting a lot of double-doubles recently, and he's getting minutes. He basically came out of nowhere. And I think Masai should really do this. I think if it fits, the center won't ask for a lot of money, obviously a G League or a two-way contract, and you get to see what the center brings. And if it goes well, whatever, you keep him. If it doesn't, there's always a way to release or buy out, you know? So I think really Masai should really look into that.
Yeah, I think that could be something valuable. I'm not sure if that's the plan for the Raptors organization. We've kind of been sleeping on those two roster spots for a bit. I don't know what the move is for, still don't know. So I'm curious what they're planning on doing. But I would be intrigued to see if that's the move, the G League player development way. And I think that was what we talked about, player development or, you know, playing for a playoff spot, eighth seed. And that adds to the next conversation of, are we looking to tank right now? We seem to be losing to, you know, a lot of teams that we probably could get away with wins. Obviously, just tonight, we've lost to the Detroit Pistons for the third time. So what's the organization's move? That will determine what we try doing, I guess, with those two roster spots.
So covering that issue, really, with the big men, now we're moving on to the second biggest issue I really feel on the team, the bench scoring. It's always been an issue this year, and I honestly can't understand why one person or really a couple people haven't taken a step up. Like usually years in the past, Raptors bench players there's been one or two guys usually every year that take a really big step and move forward either into the starting lineup in years coming, but I don't really see that from the guys that we have on the bench this year. First of all, the scoring load isn't being covered, and that's why I think we've talked about it last episode, Gary Trent being pushed to the bench with Rodney Hood, having them as kind of like a scoring dynamic duo would be, I think, the best thing for the Toronto Raptors organization right now. And I think it will make a lot more playmaking. It will get a lot of other guys open shots. And I think that's the best move right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good look for us. I know in the Portland game, we saw a little bit more of a bench production. So I think that how it looks right now, you throw Trent in there, I think it could be really good. It obviously is a matter of having healthy lineups. We seem to always be missing an opportunity to try that look. With Kyle sitting out, we've kind of for that last game, I guess, we didn't really go to that Trent at the sixth man. And that's kind of what I think would be the best look for us. I don't know. We keep going that small ball lineup, Siakam at the five, and I don't think that is the proper matchup. We seem to still be struggling, I think, with rebounding, game in and game out, second chance points, stuff like that, points in the paint. So I really think that the Trent at the six, it provides a scoring option off the bench, helps the bench unit be much more productive because we probably have one of the worst in the league. And then plugging the big men in there might help out the rebounding on the starting unit, and then the bench unit, I guess, play around a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I also don't see the bench players buying into the system on what plays they're running for the bench team, who's the ball handler, who's setting picks. Like, I think everyone just looks a bit confused when they're out there, and I think that's part of the problem. No one knows their role, no one knows what they're doing, everyone's confused, and it's obviously going to make for scoring droughts, and that's what we've seen from the bench. And I think they just have to come together and gel. As like we had in the past with a bench mob, you got to have that kind of relationship off the court as well with the bench unit, knowing that they got to compete for obviously maybe not starting spots with the talent we have right now off the bench, but just play well and play, give them positive minutes until the starters come back in. And we haven't seen that. And that's why we're struggling with this area.
Yeah, I agree.
And then now moving on to another issue that I think that has been really frequent, and we've seen it a lot this season. It's really questioning Nurse's tactics. And we've seen it again, once again in the Detroit game. The zone we've been running hasn't been working, just scrambling, trying new things. And I think at this point, he's just putting things out there. And a lot has to do with Masai as well and Bobby not giving Nurse the right pieces to work with. I don't want to say Nurse is a bad coach because I really don't think he is. I just think he's in a tough spot for what Masai really gave him and what he has to deal with. So he sees that maybe Baines isn't performing. We're already at a disadvantage because we don't have a real center out there. And it's always been an issue. And we haven't really covered it in the bio thing. And it's becoming just a snowball effect, and it's resulting in losses in the end.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I feel like there's almost like a lack of communication there. Like, Nick Nurse is clearly struggling to get his team to win games. He's every post-game interview kind of looks the same. He's just like a little bit in a moosh mood, and he just doesn't know what to really say. The ball didn't bounce our way, that classic line he has. He doesn't really have a true answer. He's trying all these different rotations, but nothing works. And I think there's almost like a lack of communication between him and upper management. He didn't even know that all three of those guys from the bio market were gone. He was making the hints for Masai and Bobby to try making a move on one of them, and he got nothing. I just feel like there's like a lack of communication there, that there maybe his needs aren't fully being expressed, that we really need that big man and we really need that bench scoring, because it just seems like our front office is not doing anything, not pulling any moves.
Yeah, No. What is going on with Masai? If you're watching the games and you're Masai Ujiri, and you're seeing your team get rebounded countlessly night after night, and it's happening just every time they step on the floor, are you not, like, understanding that you need to make a change? I just don't understand what they're doing. Like, their job is specifically to make the team as good as they can to get wins. And that's literally their job, and to deal with contract situations. So they have a couple jobs. And to create a culture, that's three jobs, okay? That's all they got to do. And they're not succeeding at any of it this season. It's an identityless team. We don't have an identity as a team. We're not good at defense. Our offense is struggling. What is going on? Masai, he missed the chance at the trade deadline. So now, in the bio situation, doesn't pick anyone up. Now, there has to be, like, someone in the G League, like we said, that he has to pick up. Like, he has to make moves. I think he's just like seeing it and waiting things out, like hoping it's going to get better. And it's clearly not this season. And he's not understanding that. And we're just going to keep on losing games until he gets that straight.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan is here. He missed two huge opportunities. We're losing, Lowry's going to be a free agent, so we don't have him to as a piece to trade out. We can't use our young pieces in Fred or Siakam probably. There's really no moves here. Is it free agency that we're waiting for? Because in terms of free agents, there's not many names there in the center position. There's like Daniel Tice and Enes Kanter, but there's pretty much nothing else. There's no big names, no superstars. We probably aren't even doing crazy good on the cap space. So I'm unaware what he's trying to do there, that he just seems to be watching the season roll by, and every night we do get out rebounded and he hasn't made a move. I don't know what the logic behind that is. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
I don't know if it's trying to get Boucher a lot of minutes, trying to make him improve as a player, but that's not the case because Nurse is playing him 10 minutes a night now. So it doesn't make no sense. It's just a big roller coaster there.
Miscommunication.
Yeah, and that's totally what the situation is.
All right, so now we're going to go game by game here. The first game was the Norman Powell return game. What a coincidence that so quickly after trading him, we're going to have to verse him. And, you know, Trent and Hood had their opportunity to verse their former team as well. This game, you know, started out interesting. Powell already was giving everyone hugs, smiling, happy to see everybody. And, when the game started, he started on our side of the court. He was going to go into our backcourt like he would playing on our team. And then he realized he was on the wrong side and then went back to the other side. So it was pretty funny seeing him do that, forgetting that he got traded there. And then the game started, and it was quickly a pretty back and forth game, high action game. First half was really, really good. It was kind of close, but we were leading and we were playing really well. We had 41 points in the first quarter. Our scoring numbers looked great. We were shooting well. I feel like Norman Powell, you know, he obviously wants to dig into the team a little bit, score some hard buckets on us. And I think Trent and Hood had the same mentality, but Trent and Norm kind of got into early foul trouble and looked like they were like really rushing or forcing, trying to take shots to outplay themselves, where I felt like Hood kind of had more of a calm demeanor in his approach and just played big in his minutes. So the first half was pretty solid. And then as the game went on, we kind of slowly crumbled. That third quarter, we absolutely collapsed. We only scored 10 points in the entire quarter. And there was just a huge scoring drought. Like probably 5 minutes went by without a single point. It was ridiculous. We couldn't make any shots. Portland did pretty well in the quarter, 23 points. And then the fourth quarter was back to normal. So we literally just had one quarter of absolute horrendous play where we couldn't score a bucket. And then because of that, we lost the game. Because the rest of the game, we did pretty well, outscored them in the first quarter and the last quarter. It's just that one quarter of collapse that cost us. And it's really disappointing because I thought overall the team, besides that quarter, had a solid game. Like everyone kind of contributed their buckets per se. We had bench contributions as well. No Kyle Lowry. Just really disappointing turn of events. In the game, Fred had 20 points, 5 boards, 8 assists, 7 for 19 shooting. OG, 19 and 10, double-double, 7 for 15 shooting. But he had 7 turnovers on the night. That hurt a lot. Pascal, 26 points, 8 boards, 8 for 16 shooting. Those were the top 3 guys, I think, on the night. Trent, he had 6 points, 7 boards, but he shot 2 for 10, 1 for 5. Made his first 3 as a Raptor, but really struggled to shoot the ball. Kind of forced up a lot of shots near the end when they weren't falling. And then off the bench, Hood had a great performance. Really came to play against his team. He shot 4 for 8, 2 for 5 from 3 at 13 points in the night. A steal in the block. I thought he just played incredible. Put up a good argument to be a nice 6-man for us. Chris Boucher, 18 points, 11 boards. Obviously fantastic in his 23 minutes of play. Shot the ball really well. And even Stanley Johnson contributed 11 points in 20 minutes, 3 for 4 shooting. So we did have a little bit of bench support, more than usual, you know, compared to games past. So that's what I like from that game. But Portland, they came hard, man. Dame, he went off. He had Dame time for the end of the game. 22 points, 11 assists. Didn't shoot the best, but still got those numbers. And CJ the killer, 23 points, 7 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 9 for 18 shooting. Just filled up the stat sheet and came really clutch at the end. Made all the big buckets. I think that was mostly the story of the night. But obviously, I'm going to give you Norm stats, 13 points. I got to at least give him the shout out for putting up some damage against us.
Yeah, and also when Norm, he also got a strip. I think it was from OG Anunoby. He stole the ball from about half court. ran in, dunked it, nice hard dunk, and then looked at the Raptors bench. I think Bobby was in the crowd, kind of really, really looking at him, kind of giving him a bad look. And I didn't think he really felt, obviously, appreciated being traded. And I think he really felt hurt by it. And, yeah, I thought we played a good game. I thought we played a good game. Our bench played well, and then our rebounding wasn't the best. But it was par. It wasn't the worst. It wasn't the best. And we could have still won the game, like you said, Gabe. I think the story was CJ McCollum, and his clutch buckets. And I just don't think still don't think we have a stopper in the end game scenarios. Like OG, great defender, but once again comes up short against CJ McCollum in those final scenarios. And Nick Nurse also. You know that your team's prone on going on these scoring droughts this season. You're seeing it happen time after time. You gotta work on these things in practice. And I'm sure he has been, but you gotta find plays that really work with your personnel you have on the team. You have a lot of good shooters. Get some wraps going. Get some ball, DHOs. Dribble handoffs. Like, do something with the plays. There has to be, like, plays with certain guys in it. That if they're going on these runs, that play will save them. We've seen it in years past with Kyle and Serge, with the pick and roll, the pick and pop, and that's really been our way to get out of these droughts. And now we're kind of just, I've seen it a lot, we're really shoving the ball into Fred or Kyle's hands, and we're doing a lot of this ISO business again. Just giving, like shoving it into their hands, hoping they make a play or they draw two defenders and get a kick out. But it's not going to work every time. Like, they're great players, Kyle and Fred, but they're not meant to be ISO scorers. They weren't in the league to be that. So we're really putting them out of their comfort zone, and it's just a big mess right now.
I agree. I just feel like there's been a lack of plays being run. I feel like it's too many of the times we've been seeing just ISO ball, jacking up three-pointers when we need to get to the paint and make our buckets or run a set piece. It's just been, you know, chucking up shots and they don't fall. And then you try different rotations. You maybe take too late to call timeouts and huge scoring drought and the other team's on a huge run and it swings momentum and it just sets us in a downhill course. I feel like that was a huge problem, just not being able to do that. And you're talking about closer in terms of the defensive end. I think even the offensive end, we've just struggled to see the closer in the dying minutes of the game, whether it be Pascal Siakam missing shots, or Kyle missing shots, Fred, we just haven't had consistent scoring. There's just been on and off games for every guy, and it's just been tough to close out a game like that. I think that's just one of the biggest culprits and one of the reasons that we are struggling. All right, so the next game now, the Toronto Raptors versus the Detroit Pistons, that happened tonight, obviously. And going into this, once again, you know, I had a bad feeling. We've already lost two games to the Pistons, two games to Dwayne Casey this season alone, and then going into it again tonight, had that same bad feeling. And each game, Pistons have had their own illnesses and injuries to deal with, and yet we've still managed to lose to them game in and game out. Just poor performances. This game, we kind of saw all the problems reemerge. You know, the bench not being there, being out-rebounded. Just the same problems, I think, game in, game out. The other team shooting so well, so our defensive ability not being at its peak. You know, defending the three ball, they shot 50%, can't allow that. And in turn, we only shot 31% from three, 41% from the field. It's just a complete lackluster play from our team. I thought lack of a performance from Kyle and Siakam specifically. I thought OG, Fred, Trent all played pretty good, and then our bench wasn't that good either. So I think it was the bench, two starters missing those pieces. It means a lot, obviously, with our short rotation. You know, Siakam, 14 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 5 for 14 shooting. Doesn't look like the worst stat line in the world, but it was really, really, really stat padded. He even got fouled out of the game, I think with like 4 minutes left maybe. He had like 5 fouls, I think, going into the late third and then came out. And then he came back in the fourth and just did not play defense at all because he didn't want to get fouled out. He still made a couple buckets, got some assists, got those stats up, but he didn't play defense in turn to get there. He literally let guys go by. Our paint was wide open. There was no contests. And then eventually he fouled himself on the offensive end. So it wasn't even because of him trying to play defense. So that was huge to me. And then Lowry only had 10 points, 1 board, 2 assists, 3 for 8 shooting and a steal. You know, we've seen him have the shooting droughts. That wasn't a thing, but he didn't shoot that much. And the thing for me was the assists. without scoring the bucket, he kind of just felt like he was just standing in the corner a lot. I wonder if it was his sore foot, the reason he didn't play against Portland. I wonder if that was the reason he didn't do too much this game, because he really didn't have the ball in his hands. He didn't create for other teammates and stuff, barely created for himself. He really kind of took a backseat this game. But the guys that did play good were our three other starters. And Anobi had 19 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 6 for 12 shooting. Fred VanVleet, 22 points, 5 boards, 7 for 20 shooting. And Gary Trent, 15 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, only 6 for 15 shooting. He kind of got cold near the end, but I thought for the most part during that game he played well. And then the bench, not much production. Hood, 7 points, 20 minutes. He did decent. Flynn, 5 points, 18 minutes. Four boards, 2 assists. Boucher, 4 points, 15 minutes. And then even Watanabe, haven't seen him in a while. 4 points, 4 boards in 9 minutes, plus 2 blocks. I thought he had a great performance coming into the game. A lot of energy, stealing the ball, being really strong defensively, making a couple buckets, just working his butt off with the minutes he had left.
Yeah, we didn't really see too much from the bench unit, but the one bright side, I think, of the night was obviously Yuta. He came in and brought the intensity, like Gabe said. And yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know, I wake up this morning and I say, I think we got to win with the Pistons, right? Me and Gabe text. I usually call them the Raggedies because of LeVar Ball. And that's like a little inside joke, because LeVar obviously called the franchise a raggedy-ass franchise. And yeah, when I come into this game, I think that the Raptors would win. But when I look into it, and if I'm Dwayne Casey, I really got an easy game plan. You want to really pack the paint. You know the Raptors aren't a great shooting team. And you really want to take the ball on the inside. And that's really what they did. And they used their brain. When the Raptors started doubling on the inside, they kicked it out and there's wide open looks. And that's why you see teams are shooting so well against us. It's because we're doubling and we're giving people wide open looks. We're making their offense so much easier than it has to be. And that's why there's the struggle.
Yeah, exactly. They're just being outplayed game in, game out because of the simple tactics like that. Teams reverse, they've always had great three-ball percentages, and it looks like we struggle to defend the three because of their wide open looks, because of all that help defense we try playing. Comes to bite us in the butt every game in, game out, because we're not playing proper man-to-man defense. And then for their team, I guess, scoring-wise, Sadiq Bey, he's been a huge factor this year in every game we've versed them. 19 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, 6 for 10 shooting, 5 3-balls. Sabin Lee, another guy coming to kill us, you know, game in, game out. 19 points, 3 boards, 5 assists, 7 for 12 shooting, stealing a block. Jeremiah Grant didn't even do that good. That star player of theirs only had 7 points. It wasn't him tonight. He shot 3 for 12. It was Stewart collecting that glass. 14 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, 5 for 7 shooting. It was Diallo, 19 and 10, double-double off the bench, 6 for 10 shooting. Corey Joseph, 17 points, 5 for 8 shooting. Frank Jackson, 12 points. That whole bench unit, they have one of the best bench units in the league, according to their stats. And, you know, it showed they really came to play. Played much better than us. It's been 3 games straight. We've been completely outplayed. They haven't even been close games. It's just been 3 blowouts, completely outplayed, outsmarted by Dwayne Casey. I think that's simple as that.
Yeah, and we really got to smarten up here. If we want to have any chance at making the playoffs, things have to turn. Things have to shift. We got some easy games coming up with lower-seeded teams, and we got to get the wins now. There's no other time to waste. There isn't no... we're getting used to it anymore, or Nick using the excuse of we're finding guys, or we're trying to adjust to see our best lineups. There is no more of that. Now it's time to win. There is no more time to waste.
Yeah. You know, you said it best. There's not much more time to waste. How much more time do you think we have? It's only about like 25 games maybe left, I think. 26 or something, 25. There's not much time here. We've passed most of the season. We're East is somehow, you know, very close for some reason. It's like we're like 4 games, I think, within. It'd be tough to get there for sure. You know, but if we really worked at it, then it's possible. But, you know, by the looks of it, not looking good for our team. We don't seem to be playing the best. And we're looking like serious contenders for the draft here. So that's going to be a video coming up talking about, I guess, draft prospects sooner or later, because looks like we're heading out for maybe a top 6 pick.
I totally think that a big is needed, honestly, in the draft, or just like a big, like a forward in general, because with the players and the way Masai is going, He's not looking at any big men anytime soon, so I think that's the best option for the draft.
Yep, I agree. All right, that's pretty much it. Hope you all enjoyed. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville. Please like and subscribe. Leave your comments down below. It's kind of been the same repeating story on this podcast of the Raptors losing and us kind of complaining about it. So we'll let you guys go. We hope you enjoyed. That's us signing out. Peace.